Hello and welcome. This is Sharon, and I'm bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. As we generally do, we'll begin our reading on the front page with this week's Eats of the Week column. Meat for a treat. Bappo's dishes out ice cream and shaved ice in Fairbury. Fairbury native Mark Hartman didn't exactly plan to be in the ice cream business, but after finding himself in possession of a small building, his options for what to do with it were limited. So why not ice cream and snow cones? Thus, Bappo's Treats opened at 505 East Oak Street in Fairbury. During the COVID-19 pandemic, Fairview Haven, a local retirement community, built two buildings to serve as visiting parlors for families to be able to see their loved ones. Around November 2022, they decided they no longer needed the buildings, so they put them up for auction as part of their annual benefit dinner. Hartman cast the winning bid for a 12 by 18 foot building and moved it next to his car wash business, which he had already owned for 20 years, along with his brother Grant. Now both brothers also are involved in the ice cream business, which opened at the end of May 2023. Hartman said his daughter, Ellie, was the one who suggested opening a business where she could work during the summers while she was out of school. And Hartman's sons, Trevor and Timothy, knew of a shaved ice business in Streeter and thought Hartman's new 12 by 18 building would be a good size for a similar business. The brothers now help their father run Bappo's, along with their sister Ellie, Uncle Grant, and cousin Lee Hartman. When this building was originally built, the intent was to connect people and to be a place where people had opportunity to build relationships, to visit family that they maybe were not able to see frequently, Hartman said. And what we have found is that this business has become a meeting place for people from all over the place. The name Bappo comes from Trevor Hartman's young children, who couldn't say grandpa and instead called Hartman Bappo. Bappo's offers about 30 or 40 different flavors of shaved ice and 20 or 30 flavors of ice cream at a time, with over 100 different flavors in total that they rotate to mix things up. Most people, their experience with a snow cone or shaved ice is at the fair somewhere where it's crushed ice and all the flavor runs to the bottom, Trevor Hartman said. The way that we shave our ice here is basically like snow. So when you go outside to make a snowball in the winter, that's how the ice is shaved. And then with the flavors that we use, it's going to be consistent flavor from the top to the bottom. You're going to get the same experience from the first bite, hopefully to the last bite. Bappo's recently launched a fall ice cream menu, which includes flavors of pumpkin, snap-o-lantern, which is spiced pumpkin ice cream with ginger snap cookies, caramel apple pie, which is cinnamon ice cream with chocolate-covered caramel cups and swirls, and s'more to love, which is graham cracker ice cream with chocolate layers and marshmallows and other flavors. They also offer a quart of the week, with this week featuring S'more to Love through September 21st. In November, they'll start introducing holiday flavors like cinnamon stick, peppermint, and eggnog. Bappo's also recently introduced ice cream flights, which include a sampling of four different flavors at one time. Another fun aspect at Bappo's is that they post two names on their Facebook page each day, and customers who have one of those names can receive a free small shaved ice or scoop of ice cream. We often see people that a family comes to town to visit someone, and they end up here, which tells us they have seen this as a destination place, Mark Hartman said. And I think that kind of defines what I believe we certainly try to create here. In mid-October, Bappo's will end its daily hours for the season, but will still be open on occasional Fridays and Saturdays until Christmas time. Then the shop will reopen in April. If you go again, this is called Bappo's Treats, located at 505 East Oak Street in Fairbury. Their fall hours are 3 to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 3 to 9 p.m. on Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, and they're closed on Sunday. You can find them online at bappostreats.com, and you can also look for the Bappo's Treats page on Facebook. Today's Flick Fact Question. The Chicago Cubs in 2002 had a well-traveled journeyman relief pitcher whose seven-year-old son, nonetheless, threw a baseball so impressively, everyone around the Cubs camp thought he'd one day be a major league pitcher. 22 years later, did he make it? The answer is no. But pitcher Pat Mahomes' son, Patrick Mahomes Jr., is a pretty good quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. And from the past pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on September 18, 1924, 15 representative businessmen assembled at the Association of Commerce yesterday afternoon to meet representatives of the Hockenberry Hotel Company from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which has financed 60 hotel projects across the country and is considering a similar venture with the former home of J.F. Humphrey's Wholesale Grocery Company at the northwest corner of Grove and East Streets. 75 years ago, on September 18, 1949, Molly Hearn, who successfully underwent a blue baby operation at a Chicago hospital early in August, is full of smiles back home at 104 East Phoenix Street in Normal. She's recovering in fine shape, according to her parents, Mr. and Mrs. John Hearn. 50 years ago, on September 18, 1974, a group of 26 West Germans will arrive in Bloomington on Friday, September 20th for a 17-day visit at Illinois Wesleyan University. Members of the Rheinhausen City Youth Club and the West German students who hosted Wesleyan students during visits to Rheinhausen for seminars in 1972, 1973, and 1974 will attend two football games and tour the police and fire departments, Bloomington High Schools, as well as the headquarters of State Farm Insurance Companies. And 25 years ago today, on September 18th, 1999, the Holiday Inn Express and Suites Hotel, 1715 Parkway Plaza Drive in Normal, will welcome guests for the first time this evening. The upscale facility features plenty of amenities intended to appeal to Bloomington Normal's business population, including dual phone lines for internet users, banquet areas, and an executive meeting room. It has 87 rooms, 17 suites, and about 35 employees. Normal Council 2050 Sustainability Plan okayed. updated version targets quality of life and environment. The town of Normal plans for affordable green housing, diverse natural habitats with plenty of trees, clean drinking water, and plentiful non-automobile transportation to be part of residents' lives by 2050. Following a year of committee meetings, surveys, and talking with experts, the Normal Town Council adopted an updated version of its long-standing Vision 2050 plan with more of a focus on the environment and sustainability. The review also included a look at predictions for a warmer, sometimes wetter, and potentially disruptive climate. By 2050, the town intends to model a new normal for sustainability using community-driven initiatives, advanced green technologies, and science-based conservation practices to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, minimize waste, support resilient ecosystems, and enhance the quality of life, according to the council documents. This is the output of a year-long process, said Rachel Heil Broad, principal and vice president of Heil Group, which the town hired in 2023 for $87,000 to do the update and monitor progress since the last update in 2010. This was crafted to offer us a little bit of a North Star through the development process. Heil Broad said the plan has seven major priority areas. Establish a dedicated sustainability office with supporting work groups. Increase reliability, convenience, safety, and appeal of non-car transportation. Promote biodiversity by preserving and expanding natural habitats and planting more trees in a wider variety of species. Increase affordable energy-efficient housing stock. Expand green infrastructure to protect sources of clean drinking water and improve storm water and wastewater management. Increase energy efficiency and adoption of renewable energy technologies. Build a circular economy by improving the way we use, reuse, and dispose of materials. Heil Broad said there was a healthy amount of data from the community with over 1,200 responses recorded through an opt-in survey that was conducted online and with hard copies, and a children's survey with 180 responses from the town's after-school program and at Children's Discovery Museum events. A 19-member steering committee was formed and began working in October 2023 to draw public input, according to council documents. Meetings with 28 local subject matter experts representing diverse interests took place in addition to a public charrette in April 2024, attended by 35 people. Town planner Mercy Davison said the steering committee also met with Illinois state climatologist Trent Ford, who explained climate change trends in central Illinois. He projected increased temperatures throughout all seasons with more frequent extreme heat events, especially with nighttime temperatures in the summer more often remaining above 70 degrees. Such a shift could hurt the health of people and wildlife, Davison added. Winter and spring already see more rainfall every year, and rain events that overwhelm drainage infrastructure are likely to intensify, Davison said. A growing season, more akin to what Carbondale sees now, will affect trees, gardens, and farms, and faster evaporation rates are likely to cause quicker drought impacts, Davison said. As the climate continues to change and other parts of the country experience increased wildfires, coastal flooding, and hurricanes, the Midwest will become a destination for a lot of people who would be considered climate migrants, she said. People will start moving around based on where it's more habitable, Davison said. We have some of what we're planning for today, and we'll also then be looking at how this affects future people that move here as well. The Reverend Kent King Nobles, pastor of the First United Methodist Church and representative of the committee, said he and others want to see more investments towards sustainability. He also thanked the town for this process and praised how it empowers citizen input and engagement. Noting children cannot control their future, King Nobles said they are relying on him and others to work with town staff in assuring the priorities of the sustainability plan are met. It's up to us to provide the kind of future that they're going to have here in this community. I don't take that lightly. I take that seriously, King Nobles said. I'm proud of this report. I'm proud of this process. I'm proud that we're getting to this point as you adopt this report. I also want to say that as citizens, we're not just handing you the time and expecting you to do all the work. There are a team of people in this community who are eager to work with you and to make our community even better and to make it more sustainable and resilient, he said. Toward the end of the council meeting, Mayor Chris Coos took time to address raising concerns regarding the potential impact on the Mahomet Aquifer of carbon sequestration, which involves injecting carbon dioxide into deep wells to allow some industrial processes to remain neutral on their emission of greenhouse gases. Coos said he and others from various communities that use water from the vast underground reservoir, which supplies water to approximately 800,000 people across East Central Illinois, have started to meet to begin work on a solution. This comes after a recent citation by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to Archer's Daniel Midland Company, which failed to properly respond to the seepage of injected carbon dioxide into unauthorized zones below its North American headquarters in Decatur. According to reporting from Lee Enterprise reporter Brendan Moore, EPA officials cited the company for injection activity not allowed under its permit, failing to follow an emergency response plan in accordance with the permit, and failure to monitor the well. Although there was no evidence the leakage put the public at risk, the news did heighten calls for more caution. State legislature, which Governor J.B. Pritzker signed earlier this year, created a state regulatory framework for carbon capture and storage, but it did not include a ban on injections underneath the Mahomet Aquifer. Now it's a group that's just starting to come together, doing their work again. The mayors of Bloomington, Champaign, Urbana, Decatur, and Clinton are starting to work with ecologists, hydrologists, and that to start on a solution, Coos said. He said he was reminded of the fight over storing polychlorinated biphenol waste in landfills over the aquifer. The telling thing we've heard when the PCB storage people said the same thing about the carbon, it's foolproof, it's never fail. That always makes my hair kind of stand up, because that's not often the case, he said. Aggravated DUI, 90 days in jail. A Peoria man has been sentenced in McLean County after pleading guilty to his third aggravated DUI. Albert V. Butler, 41, appeared in court Thursday in front of Judge Amy McFarland and pleaded guilty to aggravated driving under the influence. He was sentenced to 90 days in jail and 48 months of probation, and he was ordered to pay more than $5,000 in fines and fees. Butler also must complete a drug and alcohol assessment and any treatment that is deemed necessary, as well as participate in a DUI victim impact panel. Initially, Butler was also charged in March with the Class 4 felony offense of driving while license revoked, in addition to his Class 2 DUI charge and misdemeanor warrant variants of those offenses. In response to his guilty plea, the prosecution, represented by Assistant State's Attorney David Beard at the hearing, dismissed the remainder of his charges. Butler's attorney, Gary Morris of Peoria, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Guilty plea and misdemeanor in domestic battery. A Chicago man pleaded guilty to misdemeanor domestic battery in McLean County as his felony charges were dropped. Carl L. Wadley, 27, appeared in court Friday in front of Judge William Yoder, during which he submitted his guilty plea. In response to his plea, Assistant State's Attorney Emily Young dismissed the remainder of his charges. Initially, Wadley was charged with aggravated domestic battery with strangulation, unlawful restraint, and domestic battery after he was accused of choking and restraining a woman in July in Bloomington. The woman told police Wadley had pinned her down and choked her until she passed out, and police observed corresponding injuries, a prosecutor previously said. Wadley was sentenced to 14 days in the McLean County Jail, with credit for 7 days already served. He was also ordered to complete 24 months of conditional discharge, pay all fines and fees, and follow domestic violence protocol, according to court records. William Wolf, Wadley's defense attorney, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Unit 5 schools, district to take action on $225 million spending plan. McLean County Unit 5's proposed $222 million budget for the 2025 fiscal year, which will be the first to utilize an increased tax rate and the last to utilize pandemic-era federal resources, will be up for adoption today. One of the biggest surprises of the fiscal 2025 budget cycle was the school district changing to a Tier 1 school under the state's evidence-based funding formula. Marty Hickman, Chief Financial Officer for Unit 5, said the designation allows the district to collect an additional $1 million in state funding. However, he added that the district is right on the line between Tier 1 and Tier 2 requirements, so the status could change year over year. Fortunately, Tier 1 revenue is not something we planned on in the revenue model for this year, Hickman said. We didn't anticipate going to Tier 1, so going back to Tier 2 would really be an impact. This budget will be the first year the district takes advantage of a higher tax rate for the education fund voters authorized via referendum last year. As a result, Hickman said the budget is showing a slight surplus. Last year, the school board had anticipated a transfer of roughly $16 million in working cash reserves, $11 million to the education fund, and around $5 million to the transportation fund to the fiscal 2024 budget. But after property tax revenue and state and federal resources came in higher than expected, the district was able to draw $3.5 million less from its reserve than anticipated. We're not going to need working cash to supplement the education fund this year because we have the referendum, Hickman said. So without that, we would still be in deficit. Unit 5 will also receive about $4.6 million from the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund, which must be spent by September 30th. This funding was part of the U.S. Department of Education response to the COVID-19 pandemic to help districts pay for supplies, staff, and other emergency needs. Hickman said the district planned its budget in anticipation of the loss of funding moving forward. The public portion of the school board meeting will begin at 6:30 p.m. this evening at Normal West High School. Next month, the district will consult with the McLean County Supervisor of Assessments for guidance on property values. It will then present a proposed 2024 property tax levy to the board in November. The board will then vote on the 2024 levy, which includes revenue for the fiscal 2025 budget. The district is expected to receive the first half of property tax revenue for the 2024 levy year in May or June of next year. Bloomington Normal YMCA announces new aquatic director. The Bloomington Normal YMCA is welcoming a new senior director of aquatics, Tim Reedy, who will oversee all the aquatic programs and operations. The appointment was announced Monday in a press release, which said Reedy will take charge of the YMCA's swim lessons, swim team, lifeguard certification, and community water safety initiatives. He will also be responsible for ensuring that all aquatic facilities meet the highest standards of safety and service while fostering an inclusive environment where swimmers of all ages and skill levels can thrive, the release said. Reedy, who most recently worked as aquatic supervisor for the city of Lafayette, Colorado, issued a statement in the release as well. I'm fired up to take on this role and work with a team that's as dedicated to community and water safety as I am, he said. We will take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. Please stay tuned.